Hey everybody, what's going on? Welcome back. Another episode of the Bay Ragney Show. We're here live with one and only Mr. Brandon Gibbs. Before we talk to Brandon about his new single, I just want to tell everybody about Bombers and Sleeves, our official sponsor. They are the lifestyle apparel brand, and they're dedicated to bringing you the war on self-doubt. This is for the bold, the fearless, and the authentic souls who never back down, and they wear it all on their sleeves. Bomb your boundaries and shop Bombers and Sleeves today at bombersandsleeves.com. And here he is, the man, the myth, and soon-to-be legend, the one and only, Mr. Brandon Gibbs. What's going on, dude?
Hey, brother. Thank you for having me on your program.
Absolutely, man. So, it's funny, when I start doing the research and all this stuff, and, you know, there's things I knew about you, of course, that everybody knows about you, but something I saw, and it's funny because we are quote-unquote Facebook friends, but are you living in Nashville? Did you move out of Nashville, or...?
So after after Devil City got signed, the work while we were in Nashville for about 3.5 years, and Devil City got signed, and we had an infant, and in fairness to my wife, the workload that she had was immense because I was gone so often, and. I was raised close to my grandma and grandpa and my cousins and things like that. And so I kind of said goodbye to my social life and went off the grid to make sure my daughter has the exact same experience that I had. So I'm no longer in Tennessee. My baby was born there. Tennessee has my heart, always will. But I'm a little bit off the grid.
Not a bad way to go though.
No, it's just one of those things. You know, I have a lot of friends there, but I have a baby, and it's just one of those things. I had to pick what we're going to do, and it had to be with family to help, and I could not thank them enough for the help they give us.
Yeah, because I'm here in Nashville, and I was gonna say, damn, Brandon's in Nashville, I'm in Nashville, and I see this video you did the other day. I was say, would your wife make a beer run for the both of us?
Well, you know what? Next time I come back, we should have a beer, you know?
Absolutely.
That video was risky, by the way. Because
dude, that was awesome.
My wife knows I'm a piece of shit. And so she wasn't expecting what everyone else did. She just knew to get to the punchline, right? But there was some people there like, oh my God, he's gonna say something, And I'm like, we're already married. I love you dearly. You know that. I express that every day, all day. But would you get me some beer? Do you mind?
Dude, like when I'm watching it, I'm like I'm hooked in, like. And I'm thinking that I'm like, this is going to be so nice, so loving, so romantic. And then about halfway through, I'm like, he's going to get her with something good. It's going to be now I'm like in, and I can't wait to see what the punchline is going to be.
What, you know, with me, comedy is a big part of my life. And I have so many. My brother is hilarious. He's almost a comedian in and of himself. And we just like to laugh, and we do a lot of it.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of your brother, like that's the first time I heard of you, like you and your brother came on the scene. And the instant thing I thought, like when I was seeing the pictures and I'm seeing the name, the Gibbs brothers, I'm like, gotta be like related to the Bee Gees.
A lot of people.
Did you guys get that a lot? As I was saying, did you get that a lot?
I got it so much. I'm not so much here in the last few years. So I got it so much that I actually went with it several times.
I'm sure.
I mean, there's an S on Gibbs, and they're the Gibb brothers. But true story, I did receive their mail one time. I really did, and it was fan mail, and it was really, really long. And I don't know if I corrected them, or I definitely read it, but it was a heartfelt fan mail thing. But no, there's absolutely no relation. Period. I wish.
That's funny. Yeah, right.
Cool, you know. But no, I have an S on my last name, and I'm just a little less cool. And
Did you, whether solo or with your brother, did you ever think of doing a cover of the Bee Gees?
When we hang out together as a family, almost always someone pulls out a Bee Gees song. And one of us will do the, "How can you, man?" and then we'll all harmonize to it. So we're almost like our own Saturday Night Live skit. So you get my way sometime, you can have a cold one and watch the entertainment, because it's pure bullshit.
Oh, I would love that, man. Now what's you and your brother, do you guys still do music together at all? Or is he playing in your solo band? Or
Brent doesn't, well, he became a police officer.
Okay.
And he's had a successful career doing that, but I will never let him live down his talents. He's a very talented drummer and a wonderful singer, and he's very entertaining. And so when I have shows that come across my desk, he is my first phone call 9 times out of 10. And if he can make it work, which, you know, a lot of times he does. He did Michael McDonald with me. He did Alice Cooper with me. He did a bike rally in Detroit. And then I have an animal benefit I do every around Christmas time. So I take him out as much as I can. I also take my sister out as much as I can. She's a wonderful singer. Doesn't want anything to do with the music business. Nothing against the business. She just has a different path. She likes being a mom, staying at home. But sometimes I take her out. I just have a... not to brag, but I just have a really talented brother and sister, so I try and use them as much as I can.
Sure. Yeah, you know, speaking of a benefit and all, something again I didn't know or realize was you're like really involved with anti-bullying. You do public speaking. You released a single to benefit that. Was there something that happened in your life to inspire you to get involved in that cause? Or
yes, you know, I can't say I was. I wasn't really a victim of bullying really until I got older. And it was more of a, the more success I would have, the more I heard things from people that you didn't think you would hear from that were hurtful. And it was almost like I couldn't relate to certain, or the perception of me was I couldn't relate to anybody back home that I used to run with, and it really hurt my feelings, because it wasn't accurate. It wasn't true. I have such wonderful friends, and anybody that changed their perception of me because of what I was doing, you know, that stung. But the real deal is, you know, my brother being a police officer and him being in a small community, I started getting stories sent to me of people, that kids that were so fed up with life, so fed up with being talked down to, so fed up with being told they're different, that they were doing things that were going to end their life. And I remember this picture, I can't get it out of my mind. There was a young lady that was bullied so bad, and she made one last picture for her father and sent it to him. And thankfully he got to her and got her to the University of Iowa. And it just resonated with me. Like, if I have any sort of platform, I love what I do as a musician, but the biggest platform I have is to guide the youth in the right direction. And that is by speaking positive. If it's on your mind, be free. And it's okay to be different. What is different anyways, you know? And just encouraging them. And so that became a big part of my platform. And if I could do that just full time, honestly, I probably would. Because they're the ones that are going to change the world. And no kid should have to walk down the hallway with their head down or stay away from a certain group because they don't want to get picked on or humiliated again, and I'm just done with it. And so the youth is everything to me. And of course I'm a dad and I have nieces, and you know, you don't want that. You don't want, you know, having your kid bullied or picked on is the worst cut you could ever receive. And then the hope is as they grow up, they take that mentality into the workplace and they listen a little bit more and they talk a little bit softer. And so that's kind of why I go speak at these things. It's just anything I can do to make a difference. I believe that my appearance, obviously I'm heavily tattooed and whatnot and a little flamboyant. Sometimes I think God put that in my life. So instead of a suit and tie or a khaki pants and a polo shirt, maybe they will give me a shot and listen to me for a minute.
Yeah.
And so I just love that. I love the fact that God put that in my life so I can try. I mean, that's all I can do is try. And I'll go down, you know, fighting. I think the youth is absolutely everything.
That's amazing, man. You can tell just by listening to your words how truly meaningful it is to you and sincere you are about that.
110%. And I'll tell you, I love playing for rock fans. I love it. The most nervous I've ever been is when I'm behind the curtains and I'm getting ready to speak to 350 high school students. Or, you know, I mean, because they're still absorbing and, you know, and so it's they're very into it and looking you up and down and listening. And some have wonderful questions, but I wanted to depict my vision and things so perfectly that I don't know if I've ever been. My wife, the first time I did it afterwards, she said, "I know it's like 11:30, but you're having a beer." And that is that, because I know how nervous you were. You worked on your speech and this and that. And I said, "I think I need one. I'm so sorry. I'm going like, I need to calm down." It was the most euphoric experience because they were absorbing everything I was saying. And yeah, that was, it's been a wonderful, and I hope to do more. Like I said, if I could just do that and make a difference, I would just do that.
That's amazing. So in other words, she made that beer run 11:30 in the morning for you.
She did. She did. She made it at 11:30 in the morning.
Okay, so speaking about being nervous, now me, I would be super nervous doing this, and it's something you did. I mean, you played in the new version of Devil City Angels, but the original lineup, playing with, you know, Ricky behind you, you got Eric Brittenham from Cinderella, and then Rudy Sarzo, who played with freaking Randy Rhoads. You got Tracy Guns on the other side. Like, what's it like? Like, I mean, I know you're younger than me, but like for me, I grew up in the prime of their musical careers. So
yeah.
If I'd be like looking and turning behind me, I'd be like, how the freak did I get here? Especially when you're playing their songs. I mean, it's doing one thing. It's like you took it to another level where you're actually creating new music with these guys. But you know what I mean? Like that whole package, like how did I get here? Like, did you ever have those moments?
Well, I got to tell you, yeah, I remember when I first met with the group, you know, just the package, the first photo that we took went on the internet, and we were just rehearsing and playing around, and the response that we got was just absolutely out of this world. And that was, you know, I went on vacation after that photo was taken, and I just remember getting calls and calls and calls. It wasn't necessarily one guy or two, it was the whole thing.
Right.
And so yeah, several times just because of what we were doing and just playing what we wanted to play, rock and roll. And I started to go, well, I think I have the greatest job on earth here. And but I'll tell you this, throughout my time, those guys have been my friends since I was 16, 17 years old. So right. Going through that experience with them already being, you know, in my life, mm-hmm. and have worked together, it made the transition pretty cool, and became a brotherhood. I didn't know Tracy very much. I knew Tracy the least out of all of them, mm-hmm. but you know, not knowing him, but having the guitar camaraderie, it bridged the gap for me. I felt like then I knew him for, you know, 20 years, like some of the others. So I went into a situation that we wanted to do great things, and we did. And but I never felt like a lost puppy. Like I'm an odd man out. I mean, obviously I would be the least notable, least famous of them all. I'm 30 at the time. I think I was started with 30 years old, maybe 29. So it was cool, man. You know, playing those songs, and it's one of those things. You start a Poison song with the members of Poison. I did that too.
Yeah.
You see people light up, and you kind of get to feel what they feel night after night, creating a piece of work that resonates for years and years. And it was not so much who I was standing on stage with, but the content that we were putting out and the reaction that we would get. And it still happens to this day when we do things together.
Yeah, speaking of that, when you did that with the Poison guys, on one hand, it's like the way I looked at it was like, you know, this is great. Like, those three guys deserve to go out and play, you know, and have some fun too, just as much as Brett deserves to. And then I looked at it from your point of view too, and I was kind of like, you know, it's a great situation for you. It's a fun time. It's a good gig. But then I looked at it on the flip side. I was like, it almost kind of like, I felt like, did it put you in a bad situation? You know, like, I don't know if there was an issue with like maybe Brett being pissed or et cetera, because those guys are doing it and it's putting you in the middle.
Well, I mean, there's no weirdness. Brett is also a friend of mine. Okay. And I went out with him and helped with a weekend. I think Pete Evick, his wonderful guitar player and friend, he had to open a store. And so one of his candle stores. And so he asked me to fill in. And if there was any weirdness, I would have known right away. And sure. Brett has been nothing but just amazing as a friend. And he's an influence of mine, not just musically, but the way he is an entrepreneur and chases ideas down. So I, if there was any back and forth between anybody, I didn't hear it. And I thank God I didn't hear it, because that would really be awkward, because the four of them are my friends. I know, I always looked at it this way, and this is how it was explained to me. Brett has a very successful solo career, and it means a lot to him. And of course, Poison means a lot to him. But the other three guys want to go play music.
Sure.
I think there's a happy medium, and we won't ever call it Poison. Sometimes people do, just because it's confusing to explain it all. But it was the special guest. It was a group that we created, and we just go crash parties. And that's kind of what we did. A lot of people that would come to these 80s, the handful of shows we did, one was a Metal Mayhem jam or whatever. You bought a ticket because there's going to be a bunch of hair band stuff, and we would come out on stage and they'd be like, whoa, oh, right, it's the other guys from Poison and then this dork singing their song. So no, man, it's all good. You know, it could have been weird, but they never made it weird for me. And to this day, I mean, I've done Brett's birthday bash with him a couple times, and yeah, man, it was handled very professionally.
Nice. Now, you and Ricky did have a little beef going back and forth in the press and all, but you guys, I guess, obviously resolved that, and you put some Devil City music out last year in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah, you know, Rocket and I are brothers, and we don't always see eye to eye. And, you know, sometimes it just, the dish runs away with a spoon and context goes out differently. And that was really kind of a shame on us moment, to be honest with you. We should have picked up the phone and called each other and had any sort of conversation. I've said it before in press. I didn't mean to anger him or anything. I was trying to speak the truth that the band was inactive and, you know, and that might've rubbed him wrong, but you know, there's been a handshake and, you know, who knows? I mean, that probably will happen again. I don't always get along with my twin brother. I really don't. I love him dearly, and we meet in the middle. So it really is all good. And that's a learning curve for us, is to, you know, we're emotional people. We're artists. We're creative. We're emotional. Really, you know, shut the F up and take care of business like men.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, like you and your twin brother, you fight. I mean, it happens. Everybody fights. You know, but the bottom line at the end of the day, we raise adults, you shake hands, you hug, and you keep creating.
Yeah. I mean, and you can't even apologize for disagreeing. We have a picture of what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't always pan out for everybody in the collective, but it's just you're always fighting to get what's in your head to, you know, and I don't know if that'll ever stop. I think every band has something in that history box that is like, I didn't want to do that. I didn't agree to do that. Right. I want to do this. They might not want to do that. And my theory is, instead of, for instance, when I want to do something,
mm-hmm.
and if I push on it and it's creaking and the doors are not opening, it's best to let it open when it's ready, you know? And that's my take on anything I do with the Devil City Angels. I'm the lead singer of the band. I write some of the songs with the guys. And if that door needs to open, it'll do it naturally. And that and vice versa, how they feel about me and my solo career. Or
sure.
It just has to be natural. Otherwise, it's a push and pull, and that's not good for anybody.
Right. Well, the door is open right now for the solo career. New single is it's out on radio, and the media's got it. The media's playing the hell out of it. The media loves it. People are loving it. Lost Boys, talk to me about it. It's like hitting charts and everything already. You got to be pretty blown away. Eddie Trunk the other night.
Yeah, it's. I'm so thrilled. I've been telling everybody, you know, with everything I do with the super group, or however you want to call it, again, lack of better words, I don't know. Every angle I go with a group, I always give back to Brandon as an artist, Brandon as an individual, Brandon as the 10-year-old kid with the Fender Strat hanging on his body that looks way too big for him to play. I'm aiming to please that guy because it's been such a journey. And you know, Golden Robot Records love my writing, and you know, we did Rain Whiskey, Leave, we have Lost Boys coming out, and I'll tell you, almost to a year to the day, it comes out March 8th. I was literally, you know, and a year ago sent home from something I've been doing my whole entire life.
Right.
You know, the pandemic. And then you turn on the television. Oh my God, there's wildfires, serious wildfires. There's politics that are nobody's speaking to each other with any sort of grace at all. You know, riots. I mean, let's face it, what side of the spectrum you're on, it doesn't matter. None of us could get away from it.
Yeah.
It was in your face every single day. And here I come home and I like many others, I'm not working. I don't know what to do. And so I made the best of my situation. You got negative on the television, and I have a daughter who really looks up to me. And how do I'm so lost, you know, what am I doing? So I started a garden. I learned to fly a drone. my daughter and I dance a lot together. We make funny videos, which the video depicts a lot of what I did during that quarantine and downtime. But, you know, one of the lyrics is, people hold on. There's some change in some weather. I keep hearing things are going to change for the better. Who's in charge? Is there a man on the scene? People living out of line, no one ever coming clean. That is what went on and on. And, the song kind of wrote itself. The one good thing about, how the tune came out was, yeah, you got my resentment for the year.
Yeah.
It's my job as an artist to put feelings on paper that you can relate to, I can relate to. And, but I also got to get in touch with my guitar playing self and be a little more aggressive and nasty. And in a way that the guitar parts kind of have their own hook, mm-hmm. right along with the chorus of the song. So it just came together just right. And I hope that song is the voice of whether you're a fan of music, whether you're the artist. My wife is a first responder. Her life changed all of a sudden when she goes to work. She's literally in almost a TSA situation just to get to her front desk. Everybody felt something. And that's when, you know, this comes together, and that's my job, and I take it very serious. And I think that song depicts, you know, a lot of our thoughts, if nothing else.
You know, the one thing that really kind of shocked me, like when I read it, is that you said this about the song yourself, that it's the most fed up, hooked to the jaw song that you've ever written. It's yes. Like, I mean, you've been doing music for, you know, probably 20 years, like you're saying now, mm-hmm. or more. And it's like, wow, like, it's amazing what 2020 did to people. And for you to actually admit that, I mean, that's pretty powerful.
I have a rule in songwriting. I won't write about things I don't know about. A lot of people can write songs and have an imagination and create something that is believable, I guess. When I sing my stuff, there has to be a conviction. I have to have gone through it, even if it's condescending. Like some of Devil City stuff is a little more cocky and but I guarantee you I've been through it and or have dealt with it. And my solo material, I'm a storyteller in a sense. You know, like October 24, His Name is about my daughter's cousin who passed away, an infant. And what do you, you know, we've all been to funerals. When you go up to the line, what the hell do you say to a family? You're thinking about what you would say, but you can't say nothing when there's a baby in a coffin, in a casket, you know. And then what does the family, what are they thinking? One of the lines is, "Don't say I'm sorry for your loss. I mean, you know, he had a name. Oh God, I didn't mean to yell, but I'm going through some hell and my life's just not the same." I think everybody feels that at some
point. Absolutely. Yeah.
And, as hard as it may be, and as true, you know, as true as those feel, it you can relate, good, bad, or ugly. It was a bad situation. God, I'll tell the truth about it. And because I've been there and I've been through it. So that's kind of how I approach writing solo Brandon Gibbs stuff. I'm a little bit more spiritual and yeah.
But dude, I'll tell you what, like you were just saying about that thing that you had to go through. And I'm sure everybody feels that same way and thinks that too. Like, you know, when you're going through, you know, when you're at a viewing service, funeral service, and you have to go up and to the family, it's like, I'm sure everybody's in their head saying that same exact thing. Like, saying I'm sorry for your loss, it feels so, like, it's not enough.
Yeah, it's not enough, but as humans, we don't have the words to blanket the whole entire situation.
Yeah.
We don't, and that's life. How do you cover all grounds? And so the song is His Name. And eventually the person that's mourning, the mom or the dad or whoever, the brother, sister, eventually just says, just say his name. You know, for instance, if his name's Dalton, you know,
yeah,
just say it. And that's, yeah, that was a tough song. It wrote itself, but you know, you got to go to a place that's tough to go to get those lyrics and stuff.
Absolutely. Now back to Lost Boys. Is that the way you truly have felt in the last year, like a lost boy?
For certain.
Yeah.
Absolutely for certain. I have one. I'm humbled. You know, you realize how good you have it. You know, you're flying around with your guitar and playing music. That's a wonderful gig. It takes a lot to get to that point, but and you know, as depressed as I got, I still have a kid I have to raise, and she has grades and school and projects and fun ideas, and this craziness around people wearing masks and being sent home, she doesn't understand it. And so, like the video that will be coming out, you kind of see how I coped with it. I did silly stuff with her, and you can tell I missed my job, but you know, I did have to adapt and become a little bit more of a fun guy.
Right.
You know, a fun guy, and well, I became a better chef. you know, so yeah, it was totally different. Lost is a great, totally lost. Not knowing when it's going to come back. I thought for a second, this will happen for a little bit. I'll enjoy my break. And then it went on and on and on.
Right. Now, you mentioned, you know, you had to deal with Golden Robot and you released some previous singles to them. Is there going to be a full length at any point? Is it just going to do some singles?
Absolutely. My deal with them right now is, you know, they're fans of my writing. I think they understand how I write. I have to bleed and marinate, you know, in songs. And so they gave me like a singles deal up to an album. And I really, really appreciate it because I'm just one of those guys. I can't do a writer's round where I write with, you know, hey guys, we got three songs today. And I say three and I hold up one finger. But you know what I mean? Like, I can't do that. Like, it has to come from a place. And so it'll be single up to an album, and we're going to celebrate when an album is officially dropped. I've never been signed on my own. I've been signed with Devil City. So this is kind of a milestone, and I'm really taking my time to give listeners the best content I can possibly give them. And that would be releasing singles right now. And you kind of get to know me as a solo artist. And then as I go out, I get to know you and celebrate, you know, celebrate making music.
I love that whole formula that you know, artists do that way now. Anyway, I'd rather hear you put songs out, singles,
right?
And really hear those, like you said, marinate and get to know you, the artist, and the music, instead of having 10 to 12 songs dropped at once and that's it. It kind of fades into oblivion.
I feel like, if you stuck me in a, I mean, there was a talk about an immediate album, but I feel like if you stuck me in a room as more of an accelerated solo artist than I have been before, I don't know. Would there be some stuff that got watered down? Maybe, you know, and I'm not in that big of a hurry to get a piece of product out just to say I did it. You know, it has to resonate. And that might be a bad thing for me. It's not a matter of work ethic. It's a matter of, do I believe what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, if I don't believe what I'm saying, then when I'm singing it live, I can't relay that message.
Right.
So I am taking my time with it, but I'm working all the time on new stuff. When I do it though, it's gotta be right and have conviction, good, bad, ugly. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of my process. And like I said, I don't know if that makes me a very popular songwriter, but I assure you, when I sing it to you or play it on the guitar, you'll believe what I'm saying.
Nice. Now, how about any shows? As things are starting to open up slowly, you have anything booked for anything this year at all, or are you going to still just?
We were supposed to be in Australia over the summer, and I know that got taken off the table for now, and we're doing Europe. I think in November as a solo artist. And then I have some dates with Joel Hoekstra. He's my friend from Whitesnake. He's a great, wonderful man and guitar player, monster. We have some things trickling in. And I got some solo stuff. I don't want to say exactly where they are right now because I'd be lying if I told you I knew. You know, but I've seen things trickle in, and I think one of the nice things about being a singer-songwriter is, while some of the major things that we'd like to do may not happen, I can take my guitar and go play to a small room comfortably until things get better. And so I have a lot of those. We have a thing called the Lost Boy Diaries that we're working on, in which all these people that have helped me out throughout the years, the artists that inspired me, I'm going to tip my hat to them at a show. For instance, Peter Frampton, that was my first big show. Chris Cornell changed my life with his singing. Of course, Stevie Ray was my you know, I just want to tip my hat before we get back to the big stages and pushing our own thing. I'd like to kind of do a thank you tour to all these wonderful people.
Very cool. Nice. So officially the single comes out on Monday, the 8th?
It comes out March 8th.
Yeah. Where's the best place you want to send everybody to get the single and more about you?
Yeah, so anywhere you buy music, your Spotify, your iTunes, your Amazon, but we'll help you get there just by going to bgibbsmusic.com. Cool. And we'll have the link in which you can buy it. The video will be out on YouTube. And, of course, my Twitter is bgibbsmusic. My Instagram is bgibbsmusic. I'm on Facebook, Brandon Gibbs Music. Just to forewarn everybody, there's two Facebook pages. One is one I started before all this shit went nuts, and it's full. But please go like Brandon Gibbs Music, because I can have as many as I want, and I interact more there than I do on that one. So if I don't answer a friend request, it's because you're probably on the wrong page.
Gotcha. Well, Brandon, this is great catching up with you, talking to you, and learning more about you. I'm loving the song.
Man, thank you. And I just want to say, on behalf of artists and you know, you guys doing the radio shows and podcasts, you really open so many doors for us, and we are absolutely grateful that you take the time to create these shows, and happy to do it again when something else comes out, brother.
Absolutely, and get back to Nashville, and let's go drink some beers.
I'll tell my wife.
Awesome. Take care, Brandon.
Have a great evening. See you, buddy.
You too, man.